Welcome to our new monthly program on African authors, book publishing, and news on the continent, hosted by me, Laura Angela Bagnetto. For this month's episode, we have the pleasure to introduce two female writers. First up, Delia Jarrett McCauley. She's chairing the judges this year for the Kane Prize, awarded annually for African creative writing published in English. An author herself, Delia has written a number of books, including The Life of Una Marson, 1905 to 1965, the biography of a Jamaican feminist and broadcaster, and award-winning Moses, Citizen and Me, a novel of the conflict in Sierra Leone. She spoke to Stories in the 55 from London about the judging process for this year's Kane Prize. There were 153 stories qualifying last year.
I understand we have just as many this year, perhaps maybe in slightly more, coming from 23 different African countries and including translations. So that's something that I think is a fairly new addition to our pile. The process is quite simple. The stories have to be already published in a journal or magazine somewhere on the continent, or it could be America or UK, doesn't matter. And then the magazines forward them to the Kane Prize, and anything that sort of fits those basic criteria can then be part of our process. And we read all the stories. We have a shortlist drawn up in the spring, so late April, and then there's an award dinner and the prize giving in early July, and that takes place in Oxford.
Do you read every single one, or do you portion them off to the other judges and then you discuss them amongst yourselves?
All the judges will be reading all of the stories. So the idea is that everybody, I hope, will read really closely and finely, so that, you know, we really are conscious of what contributions we're receiving, and then we have vigorous discussions about them and make our shortlist. Of course, we've got a panel of five judges taking part in this, and the judges come from all over. So we have somebody from based in Kenya, who's the director of the Story Mojo Festival. There's an actor who's based in London, a professor based in Washington. So, you know, we're quite a wide-ranging sort of group of people coming together to read all these stories.
Judging is subjective. So could you tell us what grabs you in terms of if you're looking at a story in general?
Well, I've been thinking quite a lot about this, and, you know, the process of reading is really something that demands, I think, that you create a space inside yourself and an attitude that allows you to allow the writer to communicate what he or she wishes to communicate, rather than imposing upon them any preconceived notions about what they should say or how they should say it. So I think I want to be enchanted, I want to be surprised. I don't feel that the writers should feel that, you know, the African short story is this or that and they have to fit to particular criteria. I think, you know, we want to feel that somebody has a voice, that they're innovative, but we have to remain open, I think, and be willing to challenge each other when we come together as judges.
Part of the conversation around African writers is not being able to get the attention of publishers, that the talent is there, but not the access. And the Kane Prize has been a, sort of a launching pad for published writers into the West. But what do you believe needs to be done in addition to help promote African writers?
It's true, the Kane Prize has had quite an important impact, I think. You're right in saying that several careers have been launched and people have gained more access to mainstream houses. So, for example, last year's winner, Namwali Sapel, her first novel's already been bought by Hogarth Press and so on. I think many people will be conscious of the discussions and debates that are going on at the moment around diversity in the arts and questions of representation. Clearly, if the publishing world as a whole is not particularly geared towards hearing new voices, and it could be new voices from Africa, from the Caribbean or other parts of the world, and new types of writing, then those types of fiction won't see the light of day. So we actually obviously want to see a publishing world that is responsive. We need critics to be responsive to those changes and differences. And for books to get the marketing, the backup that they need actually to reach those wider audiences, that would be terrific.
We broadcast throughout Africa, and there are many listeners who are aspiring writers. Do you have any advice that you would give to a young aspiring writer who's listening to this right now?
Well, you know, what I always say to other writers would be, it's important to read, obviously, to read widely and to read critically, and also to be willing to keep practicing the craft. So it takes a long time, I think, to become a really mature writer, really confident in what you're doing. What I do, if I get stuck, I turn to poetry, because poets always have to work on language and, you know, the rhythm of the language. And I don't lose myself in a novel if I get stuck. I turn to poets, and they help me get started again.
As Delia Jarrett McCauley turns to poets, so do we for our next segment. Nana Niarko Boateng is a published poet, writer, and social entrepreneur who heads the GERD Center in Accra, Ghana, that fosters the craft of writing for young Ghanaians. We had a chance to speak to her in Accra about the writing process and helping others hone their skills.
The writing process, it has many stages. Part of the writing process is for someone else to hear it, or read it, or listen to it and give feedback before you could even call it done. And that critiquing stage where you find an editor is as important as any other stage, and that is usually missing. It's generally said that writing is a lonely business, but I think that part holds true when it comes to the actual process of producing, because there's no way anybody can get into your head and bring out the images or the story that you want to tell. Once that is done, the loneliness should end. We all need a certain level of support, so there has to be someone who's offering constructive criticism. There has to be an editor who's pointing out certain things that works, that doesn't work, and how to get your work better. And I feel like that is missing a lot. It felt too lonely for me at some stage. I decided to start an organization that supports writers. So that's how the GERD Center was started. We wanted to at least invite writers to come, create that space where they could share their work. We could listen, applaud when, you know, it was applaud worthy, and critique their work and see how it can be better. And I've made friends and I've met some really amazing talent in our workshops, and I've seen some books get published. I feel it's part of how you become a better writer, having a community or some sort of support system.
That's the interesting thing about the literary scene here in Accra, because you guys are supportive. There are a lot of writers here, and you're quite well organized.
Yeah, that is one thing that we get right. There is support, at least when the work is done. Maybe not for the process, maybe not when the stage where you're trying to still produce that piece, but when it's done and you want people to listen, writers in different corners of Accra will come out and listen to you. If you put together a show, it feels like a family. It really does. We try to do the best we can for each other.
And creative writing is not taught in Ghanaian primary and secondary schools, so this is all comes from the heart of every person who is involved in this literary scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I found writing, or writing found me, because my father went to Nigeria or something. He when he came back, he bought a book, Poems of Black Africa, edited by Wolu Soyinka. And I think, well, that was the first poetry book that I remember reading. I read that book over and again, and before I knew it, I was writing poetry. I found, writing was not introduced to me in a classroom. I don't remember a time where there was a period on my timetable that was dedicated to teaching creative writing in primary school or secondary school. What I was saying about the process, I met Jackie Johnson. I sent her three pieces, and then she would critique it and send it back to me, and I'll work on it. And that's how I taught myself to be a better poet. That's how come that offering support is so important to me, because I am grateful that I got that. You see, it's part of the process. I feel like it's too much of a burden if you don't get that as a writer. You lose the opportunity to discover how much you have inside of you just because you didn't get all the support that you need.
That's all we have time for today. If you enjoyed these interviews, please go to our website at rfienglish.com for the longer version. Thanks for listening to Africa, Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Until next time.